Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello and welcome to the Arrowhead Pride podcast we call From the Podium, where you get to hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney. It was a quiet night for the Chiefs on day one of the NFL draft. That was to be expected after they traded the number 31 overall pick for offensive lineman Orlando Brown. Still, Chiefs general manager Brett Veach joined the media after night one to discuss what had transpired, and he looked forward to day two, in which the Chiefs picked twice in the second round.
It was a fun first night of the draft, and look forward to tomorrow with our two second round picks, and then working toward the weekend here. So with that, we'll take your questions and get ready to roll for tomorrow.
Let's go first to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Brett. Good evening.
Hey, Herbie.
You mentioned it was a fun night. How much did that fun entice you to maybe trade back into the first round? And I have a second question after this.
No, I mean, like I said, I think the value of this draft is really that first part of two into the early mid stage of three. So, I mean, there wasn't a time where there was any temptation. When we made that move for Orlando, that was the guy we wanted. And we were happy and content to work with these two twos tomorrow.
And speaking of that second round, Anthony, I know you called it a hot zone. How much does some of this action and some of the trades in the first round affect that zone, in your opinion? And then is it still considered a hot zone?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think there's really any surprises. Now some of the trades and how they worked out, when I leave this Zoom here, I'll get back up to the draft room with my staff. And, it may affect some tomorrow just because of the teams that traded. It impacts their needs and what they wore. If they made some move that, you weren't expecting, and now they feel the need, but the team trading back, maybe they have a similar need and what have you. So we'll work through those scenarios tonight into tomorrow morning and be ready to go. So I think we'll know more tomorrow when the dust settles here and we look and we evaluate the trades. And then we compare the trades with what the team needs or the perceived team needs that we believe those teams have.
Next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Brett. Curious about Orlando Brown. Just what you guys liked about him when you sort of decided that was the guy you had to have as your left tackle. And Brett, I'll have a follow-up as well.
We looked at the draft and, as we mentioned earlier, Adam, just picking 31 and wanting to have a plug and play guy and not just a tackle, a real tackle, a Pro Bowl caliber tackle. And I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people during this process that work with Orlando in the past and knew Orlando. And it was very consistent with what we had on him coming out. Just a high character guy, really smart, loves the process. All the things we talk about when we talk about the check boxes for these offensive linemen, durable. The guy doesn't miss any snaps. He's smart. He's tough. He loves the process. And that's an infectious trait. And that, losing some guys like Fisher and Schwartz, it's one thing to replace, the athlete, but also the type of people these guys were and what they bring into the locker room. So, you talk about Orlando and he has all those attributes you look for, the size, the length, the mental toughness, the durability, the leadership. So hard to find that, these guys that you're looking at, I mean, a lot of these guys you like and they have developmental upside, but we're certainly built to win and built to win now and to have a plug and play guy is very hard. And that's why we couldn't pass up that opportunity.
Okay. And what is the plan as far as signing him to a long-term contract? Are you going to wait on that? Are you going to try to get something done maybe this summer before camp gets going?
Yeah, we'll see. We have some different things that we're working through, and we had great dialogue with him and his agent before the trade. And if something got worked out, great. But they were also content on playing it out and having us have some time to work through some other stuff, and then get into next off season. And as we all know, the cap situation will probably increase, and there'll be more flexibility, and we can get more creative. So whether that be this year or next year, we have some time. But I think the important thing for us was there was open dialogue and both parties understood that if it couldn't get done, that, we'd go into the season and try to knock it out.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Brett, just curious about your thoughts on the AFC West and what
it did tonight in Surtain, Slater, and then Leatherwood.
Yeah, I think those teams were probably following their board and taking the best players available. As you mentioned, Surtain, one of the top corners in the draft, and wasn't surprising from a defensive former defensive coordinator, the head coach there. But I mean, great player, and Oakland and LA going on the offensive line, good value there. And I think the teams are just probably staying true to the board, taking the best player available. But all those teams took some good players, and look forward to that competition with those guys.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Brett.
Hi, Sam.
As you went through your mock drafts over the past couple of weeks and anticipated what might be there at 31, did the reality today match that, or was there something maybe there, somebody there that you didn't anticipate being there at 31?
No, I think it kind of played out. I don't think there's any real surprises. I think when you get to the last four or five picks, those are always guys that some teams have in one, some teams have in two, some teams have in mid two. So I think you look at the draft. I mean, the first, I want to say, I'm looking at here, I mean, the first 18 to 24 picks, these were guys that if we didn't have in one, we had early two. And then I would say pretty much even toward the end there, these guys, I mean, obviously Turner, Stokes, Rousseau, the pass rusher from Penn State, Tryon, these are all guys that we liked right in that range. I don't think there's any huge surprises or any big curveballs, but that's typical for a first round. I mean, I would say every year there's a couple. I don't know if there are really any this year, but there'll certainly be a lot more tomorrow. And that's why I think having those two twos will be very advantageous for us.
We've got three more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Brett. Good to talk to you there. I'm curious just how you thought about the first round and how it unfolded as far as what the depth is at some of the positions that remain there for the second round. And how much conversation have you had with your staff about staying alert and being ready to move up if you want to?
Well, we're going to get together right now after I get off this Zoom. First round just ended. And, again, I don't think there's a lot of surprises. But once I get off here, we're going to go and kind of redo the board and restack it and reshuffle it and try to position ourselves for where we need to be. And I think we're happy with the numbers and kind of how they worked out. And again, having 58 and 62, I think we're going to be in a good spot to get a couple good players and have some flexibility. And as far as the first round, again, I think it was kind of well documented that the quarterbacks were going to go early. There was obviously three really good wideouts and they went early. And then it's kind of just picking at some of those positions we talked about during this process, the O-line, the D-line or DN position, and the cornerback position. There was a run of corners in the early part. And then toward the end there was a couple corners go off the board. So I think it kind of played out. I mean, not exactly. I don't think it ever plays out exactly like you think, but I just think in general, from a 1,000-foot view, I think it, the players went maybe not in the order that you thought, but I think they all went kind of in those zones you thought they're going to go. But again, I think the value here is really the second round into the mid third. And again, excited about having those two twos.
Let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Brett, I'll have a follow-up here real quick. First of all, big story as this draft was getting going in the afternoon was Aaron Rodgers wanting out. And then there's a report out that the deal's almost done. I talked to some people that news was coming from Aaron Rodgers. That's how I was getting to the guy who reported, Mark Schlereth. I think it's well known. I'm just curious, how much does that was a big buzz for football fans. How much does that penetrate your room?
Well, it does, just because it was kind of all over social media. And I think right when I sat down, some of my guys in the room were saying, hey, I mean, there's some rumblings of Rodgers going to Denver, but we're hearing all this stuff in real time, just like you guys are. Certainly we're not going to have any inside information when the trade pertains to a rival team like Denver. So, I mean, you hear about it, you talk about it, but it seemed like a lot on the day of the draft. And, that's a lot of juggling parts there for picks and players and contracts and how they fit into the cap on the day of. So, look, sometimes you don't know what's real and what's not, but I mean, usually when it picks up traction by a ton of people that are kind of in the know, you certainly look into it and look at that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, it's not going to affect what we do. I mean that, we have a game plan. We obviously are, we're excited about our team, where we are, our talent and how we can improve. So listen to it and pay attention, but more so as a sports fan, and it's just, it's good social media reads and stuff like that. But now, yeah, I mean, they're in our division, so you pay a little bit more attention to that. But again, I mean, we're focused on controlling what we can control and worrying about ourselves and how we can get better.
And then you talked about a couple of the runs that were going on, you know, different spots. How easy, you've still got to sit for a little bit tomorrow before you get in there. So how accurate can you be on knowing where things are going to go? I mean, I know in some ways it doesn't matter, right? You'll know who's available when you get there. But as far as like maneuvering around or maybe moving down, how accurate when you get together in this meeting after this Zoom do you guys usually get in projecting what's going to be there when he gets to you?
Yeah, so we'll have a chance to get up there and then stack the numbers. And, you know, we have some formulas of how many numbers you need. And I think our first pick is pick 26 in round two. So how many numbers we need in round two to, you know, feel 80% confident, 90% confident and what have you. But I think the benefit for us is addressing that left tackle need, that we can go in any different direction. I mean, we can go O-line, we can go D-line, we can go corner, we can go safety, linebacker. So I think that's the benefit of where we are and having those two twos, that we're not pigeonholed into saying, man, we need a left tackle, we got to get this taken care of. Once we address that need and we were able to acquire another second round pick, it really opened the entire board for us and allowed for maximum flexibility.
We'll go last to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Brett, thanks again for doing this. Just to speak off what Matt was saying and kind of leading into the syringe question too, how much on the initial look does this remind you of what you guys were trying to do in 2019? Obviously, you got Mecole Hardman, you got Juan Thornhill. Is that the hope and the goal tomorrow, depending upon how you look at the board now versus what will ultimately happen tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, we're just trying to acquire good players. And I think, again, I go back to, you know, our offseason, we wanted to address the offensive line and we were able to add Joe Tooney. And then there was still obviously a glaring hole there at left tackle. And we have some young talent there that we're working through. And with Nyang coming back, more of a right tackle, and Remmers will work at right tackle. So we just came into this process of wanting to be flexible and wanting to really stick to the board, take the best player available. And once we're able to acquire Orlando, you know, we felt like we made that possible. And as far as, you know, what we're trying to accomplish now, we're just trying to add good players. And again, I think the benefit for us is we can go in literally any direction. Again, other than quarterback, I think anything's on the table for tomorrow.
Brett, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.